Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Justice Kavanaugh gets smeared again by the New York Times. Democrat presidential candidates pounce. Meanwhile, Senator Elizabeth Warren opens up an enthusiasm gap over Joe Biden, and reports suggest that Senator Bernie Sanders' camp is in total disarray. This is Charlie Kirk, host of The Charlie Kirk Show. Before we get started, please, right now, go leave us a comment on our podcast feed. Give us those 5-star ratings and press subscribe. Can you get one friend to do the same? I'm asking you personally, if you can get one friend to subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show, that helps us surge in the charts so more people organically listen to our show. Again, this is Charlie Kirk, host of The Charlie Kirk Show, your home for what? Rational, conservative, libertarian thinking. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
I thought this was a settled story. I thought this was done and over with, but the left, they just seem to want to continue to give us conservatives gifts. They just want to give us the singular political issue that has united Bret Stephens from the New York Times and Donald Trump. There's only one thing that has united Bret Stephens, Dennis Prager, Donald Trump, Rush Limbaugh, Ben Shapiro, every person in the Republican Party, Susan Collins, who is not even a Republican. And what is that one thing? Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh. Now, I was on the front lines of the culture war against the left when it came to them trying to challenge the confirmation fight of now Justice. Boy, does that sound just so good to say. Justice Brett Kavanaugh. And for those of you listening, if you want to get your Justice Brett Kavanaugh t-shirt, go to charliekirk.com. You can get your Justice Kavanaugh t-shirt. I was on the front lines visiting college campuses, going to some of the protests against Brett Kavanaugh. They were going against Brett Kavanaugh. I was in favor of Brett Kavanaugh. And let's just take a little step back into the history books, if we will. Last summer, Justice Kennedy stepped down and announced his resignation. Justice Kennedy was a swing voter on the Supreme Court. Justice Kennedy was nominated by President Ronald Reagan. Justice Kennedy was a little unpredictable. He ruled in favor of the gay marriage decision that happened under President Obama, but he also ruled in favor of the Janus decision, which ended up being one of the most consequential decisions in recent years that effectively defunded public sector unions and their political activity. So Justice Kennedy steps down, he resigns, which is somewhat unusual. Usually justices will essentially see their way out as a lifetime appointee on the Supreme Court. And the great Justice Scalia unfortunately passed away while he was on the court, and that was filled thanks to President Trump nominating Justice Neil Gorsuch, who had a rather uneventful confirmation. It was actually one of the most docile confirmations. They were not able to get the left-wing activists fired up to oppose Neil Gorsuch. Now, why was that? So President Trump has two Supreme Court justices he put in place. Why is it that the left got so upset and started to conjure up these narratives against Brett Kavanaugh? Well, put simply, Justice Gorsuch was just filling the seat of another conservative justice. It actually wasn't changing the fundamental direction or the ideological future of the court. Justice Brett Kavanaugh, a solid conservative, and then Judge Brett Kavanaugh, was going to be filling a position of somebody who ruled in favor of the left sometimes. And so because of this, the left was really, really upset. So in some ways, I was in the middle of this in group text messages and emails of people speculating who was going to fill Justice Kennedy's seat. And you might remember some of the people that were in the front running. There was Judge Kethledge, there was Amy Coney Barrett, and there was Brett Kavanaugh. There was also Judge Hardiman, who was not as highly considered. Those were essentially the four finalists. And then in mid-July, President Trump came out and decided to nominate Judge Brett Kavanaugh. I immediately threw my support behind Judge Brett Kavanaugh. My original pick was actually Judge Kethledge. Judge Kethledge, which was much more in the mold of Justice Neil Gorsuch. He was a Midwestern judge, and he just, I think, fit, in my own personal opinion, the ideological mold of the direction that President Trump ran on and campaigned on even better than just now Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Nevertheless, Justice Kavanaugh was terrific on immigration and many other issues, the rule of law, and through the support behind him. What ensued in the next month and a half was actually not much news. It was really kind of, what's the best word I could put for it? Boring. I use that word intentionally. If you look at then-Judge Brett Kavanaugh's original Senate confirmation hearings, it was just peppered with very, I would just say, vanilla questions of Republican senators asking him what his favorite part of the U.S. Constitution was, Senator Mike Lee or Senator Ted Cruz. In fact, let's play sound right now of Senator Ted Cruz asking just then-Judge Brett Kavanaugh some very, let's just say, softball questions.
In your time on the D.C. Circuit, you've written a number of opinions addressing separation of powers. Why does separation of powers matter? Why should an American at home watching this on C-SPAN care about the separation of powers?
And look, the best attacks the left had at that time was essentially saying that he was funded by dark money through the Federalist Society, which is completely untrue. The Federalist Society does some of the best work in the entire conservative movement. They're absolutely terrific. And there really wasn't much happening. And then I remember exactly where I was. People remember where they were on all sorts of important American events, elections, and all sorts of things. I remember exactly where I was when I first saw the story. I was in downtown Chicago with Candace Owens and Kanye West. And I refreshed Drudge Report. And I refreshed the Drudge Report. On the top of Drudge Report, it said, Kavanaugh accuser. And I turned to Candace Owens. I said, Candace, if this is what I think it is, we are about to embark on the most consequential culture war of our lifetime. And Candace totally agreed. She said, oh my goodness, is this going to be a Me Too on the Supreme Court level? Now, when it first came out on that Sunday, we were unsure whether or not the accuser was going to come forward and put her name behind it. There was actually a lot of uncertainty whether this anonymous accusation was actually going to have a verifiable name behind it. The next morning, it turned out it indeed happened. Christine Blasey Ford, I think I'm saying that correctly, Christine Blasey Ford, who became essentially the heroine of the left for a couple weeks until she became completely useless, they threw her by the wayside, accused now Justice Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault back when he was in high school. All of you remember what happened from that point forward. We went into total and complete bedlam as a country. Everyone went to their immediate teams and their sides. Republicans did the correct thing. Republicans dug in. And I'm going to tell you exactly why Justice Brett Kavanaugh became Justice Brett Kavanaugh and who led the way and who was the most courageous person in that entire fight. And he's never looked back since. But first, I want to talk about something really important. Fact. This is a really important fact. Every year in America, guns are used over 2 million times in self-defense. Fact. The average self-defense legal case costs between $50,000 and $70,000 for the victim. Think about that. For the victim. This is shocking, especially when you consider that these Americans were just defending themselves and their loved ones, like you or I would. And that's why I'm so excited, truly so excited, to introduce our new partnership with the United States Conceal Carry Association. The USCCA was founded in 2003 in response to the growing threats to Americans' rights, freedoms, and ability to defend themselves. They provide industry-leading self-defense education, training, and legal protection to over 300,000 members, and they're the fastest-growing community of responsibly armed Americans in the entire country. Plus, they have awesome giveaways. This month, they're giving away $1,000 cash, like Andrew Yang, to 19 lucky winners for free. You could buy a SIG, Glock, or a ton of pepper spray with that. Just, this is all you have to do. You want to win cash, this is all you have to do. Free cash. Just text Kirk, K-I-R-K, to 87222. That's it, 87222, to claim your free entries. There's like no catch, no catch. The USCCA just believes in helping to protect every responsible American out there. Text Kirk, K-I-R-K, to 87222 to find out more and claim your entries. That's Kirk, K-I-R-K, Kirk, to 87222. So many of you remember the insanity that ensued. And I use that word intentionally. It was insanity. After Christine Blasey Ford came out with the accusation. Now, what people forget, though, is that there were other fake accusations that came out after Christine Ford. In fact, there was an accuser that came out, and it turned out she made up the entire thing. She made up the entire story. There was no facts behind it. And she actually now faces criminal penalties for what she did, just making up the story. She never met him. She never communicated with him whatsoever. People just totally forget about it. A left-wing activist by the name of Judy Monroe Layton, on October 3rd, she wrote an email to the Senate Judiciary Committee claiming to be the author of a letter and one of Kavanaugh's victims. Grassley, Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa, describes how, quote, given her relatively unique name, committee investigators were able to use open source research to locate Ms. Monroe Layton and determine that she, one, is a left-wing activist, two, is decades older than Judge Kavanaugh, and three, lives in neither the Washington, D.C. area nor California, but in Kentucky. The Senate Judiciary Committee, without success, tried to reach her on October 3rd before it voted on Kavanaugh's nomination October 6th. They tried again on October 29th when the committee reached her on November 1st. Monroe Layton admitted she fabricated her entire claim. It's now been, of course, referred to the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. She made up the entire thing. She just, it's total fabrication. It was just, a hallucination would be nice. I mean, if she would have come up with some sort of excuse that she's schizophrenic, it would have been even more acceptable than just saying she made it up because she hated Brett Kavanaugh. Do you know who else was in the middle of this entire circus? And that's exactly what it was. It was a circus. Do you know who was in the middle of all of it? Avenatti. Michael Avenatti. Yes, the creepy porn lawyer, in the words of Tucker Carlson, who now, he's facing a long prison sentence, isn't he? Michael Avenatti is basically totally bankrupt. He's up against huge criminal accusations in both California and New York for, I think it's embezzlement and stealing people's money. We'll get the exact specifics. Our amazing team here at the Charlie Kirk Show is going to look it all up. But I think he stole like a person's money after winning a lawsuit. He tried to racketeer money. And then he also tried to blackmail Nike against, I mean, it takes an unbelievable amount of criminal effort to try to be indicted in both LA and New York within the span of a month for things completely unrelated. It's quite extraordinary. Anyway, do you remember Michael Avenatti? Michael Avenatti, who was called someone that might actually run for president of the United States. The Democrats were actually trying to promote this alleged criminal to become president of the United States. I'm being very careful with my words because in 30 years, if Avenatti gets out of prison, he might try to sue me for libel and slander. So I'm being very careful with my words. Boy, if you want to talk about the definition of an ambulance chaser, it's Michael Avenatti. He always has business cards in his pocket. Let's just put it that way. Michael Avenatti is a con artist, an alleged con artist. Let's put it that way. He was in the middle of all the accusations against Brett Kavanaugh. Michael Avenatti came out and he claimed that he had a client by the name of who? Do you remember this name? Julie Swetnick. Who remembers that name? Julie Swetnick. I did that without Googling it, actually. I remember her name, Julie Swetnick. So she signed a sworn declaration. Again, she was represented by Michael Avenatti, okay? Julie Swetnick signed a sworn affidavit, sworn declaration represented by Michael Avenatti, who I don't think is represented anymore, that she was, quote, gang raped at a party in 1982. Does anyone remember this? Listen to the show. It's amazing how quickly we forget about how the left will go to any means necessary to destroy this president, destroy the rule of law, and to get what they want, which is total power. And so when Julie Swetnick was questioned about the alleged teenage gang raping ring that was happening in Bethesda, Maryland, 35 years ago, she said, oh, it was really well known. Hold on a second. You're trying to tell me that this was a well-known phenomenon? No evidence, no basis whatsoever. Anyone with a decency dismissed this claim. But still, at the corner of all of this was the accusation from Christine Blasey Ford. And so you probably remember Christine Blasey Ford testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and she testified uninterrupted, and then the Democrats had a chance to ask her questions, and the Republicans, while she was testifying, mostly gave up their time to this woman from Arizona. We'll find her name. She was a professional, I don't want to say interrogator, but she was a professional to find out the veracity of people's claims. And then that portion of the testimony ended. And then in the afternoon, lest us not forget, the testimony of now Justice Brett Kavanaugh. I believe firmly, if Justice Brett Kavanaugh and his allies on the Senate Judiciary Committee would not have stood for truth and would not have punched back twice as hard against the left, he would not be a justice on the Supreme Court of the United States. It was a total circus. The Democrats were asking Justice Brett Kavanaugh whether or not he liked beer, and now they all pretend they like beer as they're running for president of the United States. They were trivializing his childhood. They were going after him in every way possible. And then finally, one unexpected hero, somebody like a phoenix that rose from the ashes, a person that I opposed almost at every turn philosophically and ideologically my entire short political career, came out and stood for truth. I'm talking about who? The now chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Lindsey Graham. Let's play the sound of Senator Lindsey Graham, who came out and said in such an unbelievable way, one of the most amazing political moments of my lifetime. And here's why it was amazing. Senator Lindsey Graham was always a Republican who went along with the left. He always wanted to be friends with the left. And he said in no uncertain terms, boy, all you guys want is power. Play tape.
If you wanted an FBI investigation, you could have come to us. What you want to do is destroy this guy's life, hold this seat open, and hope you win in 2020. You've said that, not me. You've got nothing to apologize for. When you see Sotomayor and Kagan, tell them that Lindsey said hello, because I voted for them. I would never do to them what you've done to this guy. This is the most unethical sham since I've been in politics. And if you really wanted to know the truth, you sure as hell wouldn't have done what you've done to this guy. Are you a gang rapist?
No.
I cannot imagine what you and your family have gone through. Boy, y'all want power. God, I hope you never get it.
Senator Lindsey Graham always went to the correct cocktail parties. He voted for Kagan and Sotomayor, who are on the Supreme Court right now, who are far left-wing judges, because Senator Lindsey Graham was from an era in the United States Senate where you voted on the president's nominees if they had a strong legal background. Doesn't matter if you agree with them on abortion. Doesn't matter if you agree with them on all the right issues. If you agree, if you just believe that they have a good enough legal interpretation for the Constitution, they have a good enough background, you vote to confirm them. And from that moment forward, Senator Lindsey Graham came out in defense of Justice Brett Kavanaugh. And from that point forward, we then saw the Republican Party finally fight. And it was President Donald Trump who was the one that taught the Republican Party how to fight. He was the one that in a now publicized phone call called Justice Brett Kavanaugh in his prior interview that happened on Fox News, where he was very weak and very timid. President Trump said, why aren't you fighting for yourself harder? Why aren't you going out there and slugging for yourself? And he did. In fact, I remember Justice Brett Kavanaugh's testimony. Let's play a little sound of Justice Brett Kavanaugh standing for himself against the left and their well-funded efforts. And in fact, he said that. Play tape.
I will not be intimidated into withdrawing from this process. You've tried hard. You've given it your all. No one can question your effort. But your coordinated and well-funded effort to destroy my good name and destroy my family will not drive me out. After I have been in the public arena for 26 years without even a hint, a whiff of an allegation like this.
So then now I thought all this was case closed. You might remember Justice Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed by a vote of 50 votes to 48 votes with a Democrat voting by the name of Joe Manchin, Democrat Senator Joe Manchin. Justice Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed and has since been a very effective justice on the Supreme Court of the United States of America. The reason that it was 50 to 48 was Senator Steve Daines actually traveled to Montana for his daughter's wedding. You might remember that kind of little piece of melodrama behind it. And if I'm not mistaken, Senator Lisa Murkowski abstained or voted against one of the two. She abstained. Thank you very much for the fact check. The team of the Charlie Kirk Show is the best team out there. And so he was confirmed. It was a day of celebration. I remember I was in Las Vegas. I was wearing my Justice Brett Kavanaugh t-shirt. Go to charliekirk.com and you can get your Justice Brett Kavanaugh t-shirt. It was a great day to be an American. And then we talked about it for months and months to come. We talked about it and pointed to it retrospectively going up to the midterm elections. And actually, I would make the argument that President Trump and the Republicans and Senator Mitch McConnell are able to advance seats in the United States Senate, large in part due to the circus that was around Justice Brett Kavanaugh, taking out Senator Claire McCaskill, winning in Indiana, winning many of these Senate seats in an unexpected fashion, actually advancing the seats in the U.S. Senate. Also, we should not forget Senator Rick Scott, who defeated the incumbent Senator Bill Nelson in Florida, which ended up making a very, very big difference. I thought the chapter of Brett Kavanaugh was over. I thought we were done. I thought this was going to be something that we'd always talk about in the past. I thought about this was something that I would tell our children and grandchildren the day that we stood up against the left and we won. And then this weekend, I couldn't believe, I mean, I looked at my Twitter feed and I saw a million tweets. I actually put down my phone for 3 hours. Can you believe it? I put down my phone for 3 hours and I pick up Twitter and all hell's breaking loose. I saw Kavanaugh trending on Twitter with 1 million tweets. Now, to get to a million tweets on Twitter, you got to basically win the Super Bowl after being down 30-3, okay? Like the New England Patriots did a couple years ago. To get a million tweets about you on Twitter, you got to have like a Justin Timberlake Super Bowl moment with Janet Jackson, all right? I mean, you gotta be icy hot. And so I saw a million tweets about Justice Brett Kavanaugh on Twitter, and I said, oh my gosh, what's going on? So I open it up, and I read the top line tweets, and essentially it was, there were new accusations against Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Okay, here's what it was. I'm gonna read it word for word, okay? The new Kavanaugh story relates to an anecdote published in the book, The Education of Brett Kavanaugh. An investigation written by New York Times reporters Robin Pogrebin and Kate Kelly. I think I'm saying her name correctly. I mean, no offense if I'm not. So in this article that was written over the weekend, published by the New York Times, these two activists that call themselves journalist reporters claim that now Justice Brett Kavanaugh exposed himself in college to a woman. And so you read this and you say, wow, there's this new claim, and it's corroborated by this guy, Max Steyer. I don't know who Max Steyer is. It must be fine. I mean, whatever. So you read this article, and I remember reading it, and I say, oh, here we go. We're now going to have to, go through this whole thing again and debunk it. By the way, I knew from the complete and total outset that this was garbage. As soon as I read it, my garbage-o-meter went off the charts. You know why? Because the New York Times did not take this as their own news story. The New York Times did not take this as news. They put this in news analysis on the New York Times. So if on the New York Times, I immediately send this to my news division. I double check the sources and corroborate it. Instead, they wrote this as an opinion piece. And so over the next couple hours in the coming day, we find out that Max Steyer, the guy who recalls the incident, he's a pretty interesting guy when you look into it. In fact, he's someone that everybody should know about. And I think it tells a very, very important story. And I'm going to tell you why in just 1 minute. But before we get to that, look, at Turning Point USA, I just got out of the meeting. I can tell you firsthand that we have so many different charts and so many different systems, and trying to integrate them all together is really, really tough. And if you don't know your numbers, you just don't know your business. And I was just grilling my team over revenue, over expenditures, over payroll, over projections, and we're still just trying to consolidate it all into one thing. But we actually have one way to do that now, because before it was just taking up too much time, too many resources. It was one big, inefficient, total and complete mess. And so guess what? That's why I am now a fan of and a supporter of and an advocate of NetSuite by Oracle, the business management software that handles every aspect of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform, giving you the visibility and control you need to grow. With NetSuite, you save time, money, and totally unneeded headaches by managing sales, finance, and accounting, orders, and HR instantly right from your desktop or phone. That's why NetSuite is the world's number one cloud business system. You guys have to check it out. And right now, NetSuite is offering you valuable insights with a free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/Kirk. That's netsuite.com/Kirk to download your free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits, netsuite.com/Kirk. Check it out today. So Max Steyer, him and Justice Brett Kavanaugh have lived life on parallel tracks since the late 80s when they were classmates at Yale Law School. When Steyer went to work for who? For who? Oh, President Bill Clinton. Got it. As a defense attorney, he was tasked with defending the president against sexual assault. Interesting how things change. Kavanaugh concurrently worked in Ken Starr's office and was responsible for levying the charges against President Clinton. So these guys have been butting heads for decades. During those proceedings, Steyer had worked closely with David Kendall, who would later defend Hillary Clinton against allegations of illegally handling classified information. So Steyer has long ties to the Clintons, who have proven to have fingers in nearly every single thing that President Trump has experienced the last 3 years, from Fusion GPS, the Steele dossier, even Christine Blasey Ford's attorneys had close ties to Hillary Clinton. Steyer is also a reliable Democrat donor, having sent donations to the DNC, the Democrat Party, in 2000, John Kerry in 2004, Obama in 2007 and 2008. Steyer's wife is also an Obama-appointed judge, though never confirmed by the Republican Senate. She serves currently as an associate judge on the D.C. Superior Court. But what's so interesting about these new allegations against Justice Kavanaugh? Absolutely no one except Max Speier has any recollection of this attack whatsoever, including the woman who is the supposed victim. I want to repeat that. The woman who is the supposed victim, the woman who said this happened to her, Tracy Harmon, who actually I think wants to be left out of the headlines here, she has no recollection of the incident. But guess where that wasn't actually mentioned? In the New York Times piece that never put it in there. They put the accusation as if the person who was levying the accusation, who experienced the accusation, corroborated it. The New York Times omitted that information. So it wasn't until the great Molly Hemingway, who received an advanced copy of the salacious, quote, expose, pointed out that omitted detail. So these accusations against Justice Kavanaugh are clearly coming from a totally biased place. They have no other answer to it except a political motivation. And so ever since this unsubstantiated single accusation story, who the person who involves in has no recollection of it actually happening, what are they saying now? Well, 2020 Democrats, like nothing I've ever seen before, are now saying we must impeach Justice Kavanaugh. We must impeach Justice Kavanaugh. I mean, these people will do anything for power. They're doing anything for power. Since the Supreme Court first convened in 1790, there have been 112 justices, and only one has ever been impeached. In 1804, the United States House of Representatives voted to impeach Associate Justice Samuel Chase, a signer of the Declaration of Independence and an appointee of President George Washington in 1796. A Federalist, Chase really bothered Thomas Jefferson and his Republican allies in Congress and was impeached on politically motivated charges of acting in a partisan manner during several trials. In 1805, Chase was acquitted by the Senate, the decision that helped safeguard the independence of the judiciary. He served on the court until his death, until 1811. Look, it's abundantly clear to everyone watching that Democrats are engaged in an effort to fundamentally undermine the constitutional ability of a president to nominate a justice of their choosing, especially a justice like Brett Kavanaugh. There's a clear enthusiasm gap in how Democrats are playing the situation and what the American people actually seem to be buying. Even Joe Scarborough, he hates Trump so much he can't see straight in the morning. He even went and critiqued the New York Times and said that this was outrageous and irresponsible. Play clip.
I heard Kamala Harris say, we have to believe the victims. Of course, first of all, as a prosecutor, she really should put an alleged in front of the word victims, especially in the case in the New York Times essay, the baffling essay, the baffling editing process that they put forward. Because if you believed the alleged victim in the alleged incident, the alleged victim in the alleged incident doesn't ever remember the alleged incident occurring. So if Kamala Harris is believing the, quote, victim, the alleged victim says, I don't ever remember that happening, according to friends. So I'm just, again, for a lawyer, I'm confused. And Beto said he lied under oath. Okay. What specifically did he lie about? Again, this is coming after a New York Times essay over this weekend that, again, even the most liberal of liberals are scratching their heads at how badly the New York Times botched that.
Look, the hysteria and the hatred manufactured by the Democrats, it's tearing our country apart. And look, I just want to be very clear. Any young man listening to this right now, any mom out there with sons, this should horrify you. That if your son gets to be too successful, and for young men out there, and even young women out there, if you have men that you care about in your life, if you have boyfriends or brothers or husbands, this should keep you up at night. Because if you become too successful and too conservative, they will hunt you in the night and they will do anything they possibly can to destroy you. They will manufacture narratives. They will take half-truths and make it seem as if it's fact. They will do whatever it takes to destroy you. And so look, with Justice Brett Kavanaugh, he's not going to be impeached. He's not going to be removed from the Supreme Court. It's a useless conversation. It is a meaningless topic, but it's unbelievably important because impeachment is the ultimate political punishment. And they're using it. No matter what it is, they need to go to the highest possible extreme in volume. Single accusation that's unsubstantiated from the person it actually happened to against Brett Kavanaugh, impeach him. Really? I mean, what are we going to have to do when someone actually does something wrong in this country? Like, what are the Democrats, what word are they going to use to actually describe real corruption when it happens in our country? Because they're already using the top tool that they actually have. They are using the top level of... I'm laughing because Mr. Producer just wrote the guillotine. We're half kidding, okay? I don't actually think the Democrats would support that because they don't support the death penalty. Except I think the Democrats are going to be pro-death penalty when it comes to putting Republicans on trial. But look, here's the thing. If you actually want to impeach somebody, here's a little fast fact. Do you know that former office holders can be impeached? Do you know that people that used to serve in office can be impeached? So why don't we impeach President Barack Obama for overseeing the spying scandal on President Donald Trump? Why don't we impeach, I don't know, Vice President Joe Biden, who sold out America to our greatest enemy, China? How did he sell us out to China? Well, he and his son, Hunter Biden, boarded Air Force Two, the private aircraft of the Vice President of the United States, and took a long flight to China with Chinese officials. Magically and amazingly, Hunter Biden secured a massive billion-dollar investment into his fund, of which he's highly underqualified for, couple days after he goes to China with his father on Air Force Two. Look, is any of this going to happen? Are we going to impeach Vice President Joe Biden? Are we going to former Vice President Joe Biden? Are we going to impeach former President Barack Obama? Are we going to impeach former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton for destroying emails or lying under oath or putting our national security at risk through using a private server or lying about the four Americans dying in Benghazi on 9/11? None of that's going to happen. Why? Because conservatives forgive, we forget, and we move on. Because for us, the most important thing in our life is not political power. The most important thing in a conservative's life is their relationship with God or their church or their community or their children or their family or anything else except government. The most important thing to a Democrat, their life, their obsession, is getting political power. There's many reasons for this. The left, because they're a highly atheistic group, and atheism is the fastest growing religion in America. If you want to learn more about that, go to the previous episode of The Charlie Kirk Show, press download and listen to it. They find meaning. They find fulfillment in government. Government is their God. In fact, government has become their new church. And so if anyone besides their allies, their friends, and their cronies is occupying government, then all of a sudden they do whatever it possibly takes to try to remove those people. They'll orchestrate an intergovernmental coup against you. They'll use Brennan and Clapper and all the levers of government to go against you. And by the way, do you notice that they're always saying that it's an existential threat? Oh, it's an existential threat to our country. Well, no, it's actually not. It's not an existential threat that President Donald Trump is succeeding. It's actually an existential blessing that he's president of the United States. Justice Brett Kavanaugh is probably the most boring human being that I have seen in public life since Neil Gorsuch. And they're trying to make this guy seem like he was Don Juan from Spring Break, Mexico in 1982, okay? He's kind of a nerdy guy that went to Yale, partied and liked beer, and guess what? He still likes beer. Has been amazingly faithful to his wife and his two beautiful daughters, and his life is routinely ruined by power-hungry, self-hating Democrats that want to destroy everything in their path. We no longer have a media in this country. We have a propaganda arm of the Democrat Party, and the fact that the New York Times published this garbage and they're not held accountable is an indictment of how far our country and culture has gone. And in just a minute, I'm going to tell you exactly what we as conservatives can do about it and what this means for 2020. But just first, okay, everybody, amazing football this last weekend. College football, the Ducks of Oregon, what happened? They won. That's right. The Ducks of Oregon won 35-3 against University of Montana. Not exactly a heavyweight fight, kind of a lightweight fight. Justin Herbert, who's going to probably win the Heisman Trophy. You heard it here first, second, and third, because no one else is possibly making that prediction. They're talking about Jalen Hurts. Tua, can't say his last name, from Alabama. And what's the guy from Clemson? Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence from Clemson. They're probably the front runners for the Heisman. No. Justin Herbert, the guy, is a machine. Look, we got some huge games coming up this weekend. Michigan at Wisconsin. I like Harbaugh on the road in Camp Randall. That's a fun place to go to a football game. I'll tell you what. You want to go to one of the most fun places to go to the football game? All I can say is you better stand up after the third quarter. If that reference goes over your head, then we can't be friends. Notre Dame at Georgia. I think game day is going to be in Athens, Georgia, right? Yeah, I think game day is in Athens, of course. I think one of the greatest installations and installments in American life is college game day. I just love watching Kirk Herbstreit be routinely wrong about everything to do with college football. Lee Corso trying to fake out everyone. But all kidding aside, college game day, the spirit, the energy, enthusiasm around college football, one of my favorite things to possibly watch. So look, we have this really cool thing going on right now at Podcast One where we're competing up against other show hosts. To make it competitive, I'm intentionally picking the underdog. In fact, I'm intentionally picking teams I don't think are going to win, just so that we can have some form of a competition here at the Charlie Kirk Show against other Podcast One talent. But look, you can go right now. You can join the conversation at hashtag SportsNetsChallenge. It's a $5,000 season-long charity contest. I'm going to pick five teams this week. $500 reward each week to give out the winning show to five listeners each week. So go right now. You can check out the rankings at podcastonesportsnet.com. That's podcastonesportsnet.com. So here are some of the matchups. Look, we got Chicago at Washington. Go Bears. Bears are going to win, okay? Rams at Cleveland. I like the Rams to squeak it out. Baker Mayfield. New Orleans at Seattle. I love the Saints. I just love Drew Brees. I love everything about Drew Brees. Go Saints. Houston at LA. I like Houston. Baltimore at Kansas City. Is Mahomes, is he doing okay? How's he doing the first couple weeks? Is he still throwing with his left hand or some crazy thing like that? He can throw with both hands. Do you know that? Those are my picks for the week. Oh, but if you want to get on the action, go to betonline.ag. Don't forget your promo code podcast1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. All of our staff and our employees, the ones that are interested, they have their fantasy football teams. A lot of people have BetOnline accounts. You guys got to do it too. BetOnline.ag. This is my favorite part of the show because I can just talk about whatever I want and I could be the least politically correct when it comes to sports, because I think when I actually go after sports figures, I actually get the best engagement. So this has been a lot of fun. I can't wait to see the college football matchups. We've got Auburn at Texas A&M. Actually, one of our team members here at the Charlie Kirk Show went to Texas A&M, Giggum and Howdy. I think they're both, no, actually A&M lost to Clemson one or two weeks ago. So I think Auburn's coming in undefeated. Auburn won against the Oregon Ducks, and they will never be forgiven for that. So anyway, right now, go to betonline.ag. Don't forget that promo code podcast1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. Betonline.ag, your online sports book experts. So one last thought on the Kavanaugh fight, and then we're going to get into a little bit of 2020 prediction. For all you conservatives out there, understand that the left, they will betray their decency. They will betray any sort of values that they have in the pursuit of power. And this Kavanaugh fight embodies it better than anything else. And I mean, I get these emails. I sign up for these emails from like the Daily Kos, and I sign up for these emails from the Huffington Post. I'm going to read some of these emails off to you. I just can't believe what they're writing. I just can't. And you have to understand that the base of the Democrat Party, they are as bloodthirsty and as angry as I have ever seen them. And so I sign up for all these left-wing sites. So here's the thing right here. From the Daily Kos, September 17th. I can't believe no one wrote about this. The subject line is, want to take immediate revenge on Republican senators for Kavanaugh. Revenge! They're not even hiding the ethos of their party right now. And I have to say, here at the Charlie Kirk Show, we accurately gave the observation that the Democrat Party is a revenge-driven party. Daily Kos right now. Take action. Brett Kavanaugh lied under oath. No, he didn't. He must be impeached. By the way, let's just say in a weird world where Narnia exists and all these fake things happened, let's just say he did lie under oath. Then doesn't that mean that James Comey and Hillary Clinton and Andrew McCabe and all these people should be held accountable for lying under oath? Of course not. And I'm reading this Daily Kos article. By the way, if you want to know the direction and the energy of where the Democrat Party's actually going, please go sign up for the Daily Kos. The reason that our predictions generally are correct when it comes to the left is we just look at what they're actually saying. And Elizabeth Warren was leading in the Daily Kos polls well before anyone else took it seriously. And so look, right now, even though Warren is still in second place after last week's debates, which was a total circus, she importantly has the advantage in enthusiasm. According to a new national NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, Biden still leads Warren and Sanders, but Warren is surging. We predicted this, but ahead of everyone else, Biden leads with 31% of Democrat primary voters, up 5 points since July, and Warren gets 25%, up 6 points, and Warren is surging. If Bernie Sanders dropped out tomorrow, Warren would be the front runner and the nominee. Bernie Sanders is the iron wall. Ha, ha, ha. Get it? Bernie Sanders is the iron wall. No, the iron curtain, I should say. Bernie Sanders is the iron curtain from Elizabeth Warren being the current front runner. Oh, those Bolsheviks, they'll always come and get you. Right. The survey also shows that Warren has the advantage in enthusiasm. Who's enthusiastic to vote for Warren? 35% of voters. Biden, 23% of voters. Bernie, only 25%. I have to say, that's a lot lower than I thought. The people that are going to show up, people that are going to caucus, is Elizabeth Warren. And Pete Buttigieg, I'm confident a lot of Pete Buttigieg's support will end up going towards Warren. Who is just sinking like the Titanic? Who is just going down like, what's the big thing that was in the air? The Zeppelin, right? The Hindenburg, down like the Hindenburg. What's another analogy that we can use that is somewhat correct? What's fallen like, I don't know. Anyway, you get the point. Senator Kamala Harris, I'm mispronouncing it. Is it Kamala or Kamala? Kamala. Senator Harris, she had 13% support in July, 5%. Andrew Yang, give free stuff away Yang, he's within the margin of error against Senator Harris. Andrew Yang, who's basically like a 4chan Reddit concoction trolling for the presidency guy, is within the margin of error of a sitting U.S. Senator, Senator Harris. Amy Klobuchar at 2%, Senator Cory Booker 2%, Robert Francis O'Rourke at 1%. Robert Francis O'Rourke, the fake Irishman from El Paso who had a privileged upbringing, who basically his whole campaign is, I hate America more than you. Like that, his whole reason is like, vote for me because I hate America more than every one of these other people running for office. The whole reason, Robert Francis O'Rourke, his whole ethos of his campaign is, I can describe why America's worse better than you can, while the microphone is like half an inch away from his tongue, basically within his mouth. It's unbelievable. Tulsi Gabbard, she's gone way over her skis. She got way too aggressive recently against President Trump. It's despicable and it should be totally repudiated. She's at 1% in the polls. Still, I'm trying to figure out where the 0% of Senator Kirsten Gillibrand went. And so kind of to put all this together, and look, we've said this over and over again on the Charlie Kirk Show, Warren, Elizabeth Warren, more closely fits and represents where the gravitational center of the Democrat Party is. So to put this all full circle, do you remember how many times Justice Brett Kavanaugh was interrupted in his hearing? Do you remember how many times Justice Brett Kavanaugh was interrupted? Dozens and dozens of times. Those protesters, who are those protesters going to vote for? That is the direction of the Democrat Party. Do you think that those voters are going to go vote for former Vice President Joe Biden? Probably not. They are going to go vote, most likely, for Senator Elizabeth Warren. She's angry. She understands the base. She has massive support. She had a rally in Washington Square Park with 20,000 people. She has over 1 million donors, already 1 million donors. And amazingly and surprisingly, Senator Elizabeth Warren has convinced 15% of moderate Democrats to support her. And look, this is because she's a student of Saul Alinsky. She's a total radical in sheep's clothing. We're going to do a whole nother episode on this, which is examining Elizabeth Warren, where we're going to do a deep dive on her history, where she came from. We always like to be ahead of the curve at the Charlie Kirk Show. I want to get ahead of all of her life history, the stuff that she's done. And I think that you, as the conservative libertarian base, or even if there's liberals listening to our show, great. We'll pray for you. And if you don't believe in God, we'll pray for you even more. And for you conservative libertarians out there, you have to know specifically where the direction of the Democrat Party is going. And just understand this, that if you know where the left is, and more importantly, where they're going, you are going to be a better citizen, a better activist, and more engaged and more involved in the process. And just another headline here I wanted to share, just because Bolshevik Bernie Sanders or breadline Bernie Sanders, depends which one you like more. Their campaign is racked by dissension, a staff shakeup and loss of an endorsement to Elizabeth Warren has allies warning of deeper problems. Senator Bernie Sanders is, they're plummeting. His campaign is totally and completely plummeting. And so we'll do a future episode on now the soon to be frontrunner, the dark horse frontrunner, Senator Elizabeth Warren. I just want to share one tweet from Senator Elizabeth Warren. Quote, last year, The Kavanaugh nomination was rammed through the Senate without a thorough examination of the allegations against him. That's ridiculous. Confirmation is not exoneration, and these newest revelations are disturbing. Like the man who appointed him, Kavanaugh should be impeached. 152,000 people like that on Twitter. She's running directly towards the base of the Democrat Party. They're running for the protesters that interrupt the confirmation hearing. Those are the people that she needs to win over. Those are the people that are going to show up to vote for her in areas in California where Senator Harris is doing worse and worse and worse. California is one of the earliest primaries now. They're going to be highly, highly determinative of who actually the nominee is going to be. And so in closing here, folks, this Kavanaugh thing should not be an issue. We should never have to do another episode on Kavanaugh again. But the left forces us to defend what is correct. The left forces us to come to the defense of innocent people because they want power. And the 2020 Democrats and the media, they want anything, anything in their grasp to destroy and destabilize President Donald Trump. It's not that they're afraid that he's going to fail. They're terrified that he is succeeding. He had tens of thousands of people to the overflow room in New Mexico. President Donald Trump has changed the Republican Party for the better and for good. They're a populist-driven, people-centric party that now is listening to the needs and wants of middle America and is delivering results for our country. And this is a huge threat to the American left. Never again should we have to do an episode defending Justice Brett Kavanaugh. However, I'm afraid this is just the beginning of their long character assassination of people that deserve to be in the highest positions of our government, such as Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Thank you guys so much for listening this week. Please go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com to get engaged with Turning Point USA. We're on 1,400 campuses across the country. We have our Black Leadership Summit coming up in a couple weeks. Start a chapter. Get involved. If you're in high school, you need to start a chapter right now. You need to start a chapter if you're in high school. And you're in college, you need to start or join a chapter. Have me come and speak on campus. Have some of our speakers come on campus. If you go to tpusa.com, we have our culture war tour coming up. We have some really big stops. I'll be in Arizona on October 21st. I'll be in Colorado October 22nd. And we have some really exciting announcements coming to that. And if you're an adult and you want to support our work, go to tpusa.com and please give us a contribution. It's tax deductible and it helps us out so much. And finally, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or any sort of podcast provider, go press subscribe, please. Leave a comment. Give us those 5-star reviews. The questions underneath help us so much. Those 5-star reviews keep us going. This is Charlie Kirk, host of The Charlie Kirk Show, your home for rational, conservative, libertarian thinking. Thank you so much. Support our sponsors. Give us those 5-star reviews. Go to tpusa.com. Till next time, this is Charlie Kirk.
Hey, everybody, it's Laura Ingraham, and I'd like to invite you to check out my new show, The Laura Ingraham Podcast, exclusively on Podcast One. So join me 3 days a week as I cover politics, the culture, everything in between, laugh, learn, all at the same time. We got you locked and loaded, and you'll be ready for the week, ready for the month. And it's very easy. You just subscribe today, download new episodes exclusively at podcastone.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. And you know mine's going to be one of your newest.